Good morning, everybody. Can everybody hear me in the back? Great, thanks. Thank you, Dr. Stukenborg. As he mentioned, my name is Steve Cohen, and I worked on this project with my mentor Dr. Elena Naumova of Tufts University. And today I'm just going to talk about sort of bridging a few subfields in public health, demography, epidemiology, and statistics, and kind of bring those together and to illustrate a method that we used. I don't want to say that we developed it, but we used it, that we affectionately refer to it as the simple method. So the main crux of my presentation is to talk about how do we account for age in public health studies. And most of the time, age is basically a nuisance. We want to kind of get rid of it. We want to account for it. So most of the time, we used procedures such as standardization, either direct or indirect. It's widely used in a lot of epidemiological and other health studies. And it's generally very useful to account for age, especially when the population structures are different by age. But the problems can occur largely because the choice of your population standard will dictate basically what your rate comes out to be. So that can introduce bias and potentially incorrect statistical inferences based on that and other issues. And another method that's commonly used, and we use it ourselves, is of course age categorization. I'm going to be talking a lot about the elderly population today. But age categorization or stratification by age is another method that's widely used. But of course, the choice of age endpoints, for example, in the elderly population, is usually divided into 65 to 74, 75 to 84, and 85 plus. The choice is really arbitrary, and depending on where you make those endpoints, is really really dictates what your results can be. And it omits more detailed information on age. And what I mean by that is if you have two populations in a state, for example, like Nevada, where they have a lot of elderly, but the populations, they have a lot of young elderly. So each if you use age categorization, it won't be reflective of, say, 65 to 74. That population, proportionally to the rest of the elderly population, isn't quite the same as a state like Rhode Island, where the elderly population tends to be an older population. So these are just a couple little issues that are involved. Of course, these are widely used, so I'm not trying to knock either of them, but that's just a couple of the issues. So in epidemiology and demography as well, but especially in epidemiology, the main goal is to create some sort of incidence or prevalence rate. And especially in epidemiology, it's we spend a lot of time looking at the number of cases, trying to estimate the most accurate number of cases. And we spend relatively less time like population at risk. But the population at risk is key, especially in the older population. While it is growing, it's generally a population that has that is very dynamic and changes rapidly. So it's important. In itself, age is a major predictor of disease rates if you're doing a population-based study. So the other methods that I mentioned tend to kind of gloss over that, trying to get rid of it. This method really says basically to embrace age and to use the fact that age is a strong predictor of disease rates in the population for your benefit of studies. So just to give you an illustration of this, this is a population distribution 65 plus, and it decreases fairly rapidly with age, as we all know. This is taken from the 2000 census. And I'm going to look at CMS data from Medicare, which is about 14 million hospitalization records for influenza and pneumonia as an example. And this is the distribution of cases by age. As you can see, it peaks. This is a total for the 5 years from 1998 through 2002. It peaks around age 80. That's in the number of cases, and that leaves a rate which is almost exponentially distributed. It starts out very low, it stays pretty low, and then around age 70, 75, starts increasing fairly rapidly with age. And at the very oldest ages, it levels off. And I will say one caveat is I looked at ages 65 to 99. The reason why I didn't look at 100 and above is because the census data for 100 and above is not grouped by single year of age. So it's more difficult to estimate age-specific rates. So we developed what's called the simple method, and It's very difficult to make an acronym out of this, so I will. But we tried to make it as appropriate as possible. It's called the slope-intercept method for population linear estimation, and it's fairly simple to do if you have age-specific data. If you're doing a population-based study or a study of a large data set where you have single year of age distribution, it's used when disease rates follow an exponential distribution with age. So not all disease rates follow an exponential distribution, but I'll show you some examples where they do, and we use that. So here's just an example of this method. If you graph disease rates by age, you get this sort of distribution. Again, the rates are tend to be very low at the younger older population, but tend to increase as you get older. If you take the log of those rates, it follows almost a line with some noise. And depends, of course, which disease. This is just an example. This is not actually any particular disease yet, but I'll get there. And then if you regress the log of the rate versus age, you get a straight line, or you can get a straight line. What happens is those parameters of that line, the intercept and the slope, are used as outcome variables. So for example, the intercept here is the log transform smooth rate at age 65. You might say, well, why is this? Why bother with this? And the reason why is, in particular, in Medicare data, the age-specific rates tend to be higher at age 85 because that's the first year that the population is generally included. So there's always a little bit of bump up in a lot of the diseases that we've looked at. So it's good to have a smoother rate to kind of get a better population estimate. And the slope represents basically the exponential change in disease rates with age. The interpretation is a little more complicated, but it's basically these parameters are defined by the model when you regress the log of rate versus age. So I'm going to address two main issues, the signal and the noise. And I'll first start with the noise to look at R-squared values when you use this data for pneumonia, influenza, and combined influenza and pneumonia. If you look at this on the regional or divisional level, but these are census divisions, to show you that the first number, these are R-squared values for these models. So there's actually a lot less noise than it looks like for example, here. So the first is for pneumonia, the second number is for influenza, and the third number is for pneumonia and influenza combined. As you can see, they all hover close to one, or usually between about 0.98 and 0.995. So there is a pretty large degree. So this just says that age is a very strong predictor, and this model does account for a substantial proportion of the variability with age. Of course, as you go down to the state level, this decreases somewhat. There's actually a small error on the slide. It shouldn't be average R-squared value. This should be the lowest R-squared value for each season. As you can see from this graph, when you do it on the smaller and smaller aggregation levels, the R-squared does tend to go down, which you would expect. But the R-squared value tends to be lowest in states primarily with the lowest populations, but that isn't always true. And you notice that a lot of the states in the South and in the Midwest have high R-squared values, and that, I think, is due to the fact that those states often have the highest rates of flu and pneumonia. So that could be playing a role here. Not quite sure. So need more research. We'd have to do some more research to look into that. If you look at it over time, you see that for these three diseases, or these two diseases and the diseases combined, you see that the relationship is fairly stable. There are a couple seasons, such as 97, 98, when the flu, the R-squared for flu went down. This is looking at the U.S. as a whole. And the rate did go down a little bit, and we attribute that, I believe, to that particular year was a low year for flu. That speaks to one issue that I wanted to bring up, is this does it, the higher the disease counts, the better that this model will do. So if you have a rare disease, it's not going to do quite as well, or maybe do poorly. So now I wanted to give you a little bit more information on the signal itself, which is how the slopes and intercepts from the model are related, and they are very closely related. They're negatively associated with each other, and fairly consistently, except for flu, of course, in a couple years. I'm just looking at 5 years of data here as opposed to the 13 years that we just looked at, just for simplicity. And as you can see, that in each year, there is a moderate negative association for between the slope and the intercept for each state. And if you look at, if you compare the parameters that we get from the model based on our traditional methods, such as age-adjusted rates, we find that the slope parameter is negatively associated with the age-adjusted rates, except for a few seasons, but the intercept is very closely associated, strongly positively associated with the age-adjusted rate. And why that is because the age-adjusted rate, when you look at it, it actually represents the rate at about age 69 or 70, so, and that's not that much different than the age at 65. So if you can imagine that that they'd be pretty closely related, so that actually pans out pretty well. So just to summarize, slope parameter again measures that exponential age increase with age, and instead of trying to get around the issue of age, this again it sort of embraces the issue of age. And maybe you don't want to do that, and that's fine. But in our particular, I'm sort of trained in demography, so I have an interest in that, and it does reflect an important component of disease because age accounts for so much variability in disease rates over the population, and it's weakly but negatively associated with the intercept. The intercept parameter, however, it does measure that the log of the expected disease rate at age 65. It's a smoothed rate, and it is very closely related with the more traditional method of age-adjusted rates. And it can be used for other diseases. We looked at a couple other diseases, such as all hospitalizations and cardiovascular disease, broad diseases. And this method does hold. And of course, the more common the disease, the better this simple model does. When I say it doesn't mask the population processes, it doesn't mask the age increase that accounts for so much variability. So I'd just like to acknowledge our funding source and also the data source which we use at CMS. And I'd like to thank the members of our Tufts group, which Dr. Lena Nalmova, who I mentioned earlier, Jocelyn Jagai, Ken Choi, and Julia Wenger, and also my former advisor at Johns Hopkins and an instrumental committee member. And I just wanted to thank you again for listening. And there's my contact information.
Thank you, Dr. Cohen. Our final speaker is Dr. Mohammed Hussein, and he comes to us from New Mexico State University, Department of Health Sciences.
Good morning, and thank you.